Disappointing, 17 Uhr und gleich 8 Minuten. Ihr hört die Morning Show am Nachmittag auf Flux FM. Im Sommer hat der oberste Gerichtshof der Vereinigten Staaten ein lange herbeigesehntes Urteil gefällt und das Verbot von gleichgeschlechtlichen Eheschließungen für verfassungswidrig erklärt. Im Umkehrschluss heißt das natürlich, die gleichgeschlechtliche Ehe in allen 50 Bundesstaaten wurde finally legalisiert. Evan Wolfson heißt der Anwalt und Aktivist, der für dieses Urteil vor verschiedensten Gerichten jahrzehntelang kämpfte. Er wird heute Abend im Schwulen Museum über seine Geschichte sprechen. Jetzt ist er aber erstmal bei mir im Studio. Wir freuen uns sehr. Hello and welcome, Mr. Evan Wolfson.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's good that you're here. Thank you for coming. How are you today?
I'm terrific. It's great to be back in Germany. It's great to have a chance to talk with people.
Yes. Before we find out what you're going to talk about tonight, let's look back at 30 years or more. of your work for same-sex marriage. In June 2015, the Supreme Court decided that the Constitution of the United States does not allow the discrimination of citizens and legalized same-sex marriage. After you had spent most of your life fighting for this decision, how did you feel when the Supreme Court finally came to the right conclusions?
Well, of course, I felt extremely happy and very proud, and I also felt very lucky that I got to live to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are many people who did the right thing, made the right arguments, stood up for their love in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and they didn't live to see it. So it's wonderful to finally have the United States where it needs to be and to see the momentum now in so many other places in the world.
Yeah. It kind of like has an influence on other countries in the world. That's what one really sees right now.
Yes.
Right?
Well, of course, the United States in part was building on the momentum that came from other countries, including countries here in Europe.
Yeah.
And also, though, we now have 22 countries on 5 continents where gay people have the freedom to marry, up from zero 15 years ago.
Yeah,
so there is real momentum, and of course we have to keep going.
Yeah, you just said that you're happy that you're living to see the consequences of your work and to see that the Supreme Court finally made that decision. And you once told an interviewer that when you're speaking about civil rights, this happened pretty fast. I just told people that you were working on this for more than 30 years, and it feels like a long time, but when we're talking about the development of civil rights, this was really, really fast, kind of.
Well, it is true compared to some of the movements that we obviously continue to work on and continue to move forward, that this did go quickly in those terms. But this has been more than 4 decades, as you said, in the making. Gay people have been fighting for the freedom to marry in the United States since literally the dawn of the modern gay rights movement, which we usually date to Stonewall in 1969. Yeah. By 1972, there had been 3 major cases brought by couples seeking the freedom to marry, one of which had reached the U.S. Supreme Court, which got it wrong in 1972. So this overnight success is decades in the making and is the product of a movement over many decades of millions of conversations, millions of debates, millions of dollars spent, and many, many people changing their hearts and opening their minds and moving forward.
Yeah. The thing, while we talk about this period of time that goes over 30 years, is the fact that you wrote your Harvard Law thesis in 1983 on why same-sex marriage should be legal. What took the Supreme Court so long to get your thesis right?
Well, you know, before we won in June in the Supreme Court, in the previous 2 years, we won 70 court rulings all across the country as the momentum built.
Yeah.
And we won with judges appointed by Democrats and Republicans, the conservatives and the liberals. Yeah. We won in the federal courts and the state courts, 70 cases.
Yeah.
And of all those cases, my favorite passage came from the ruling in which we won the freedom to marry in Utah, the most conservative, most religious state in the United States. And what the judge wrote in the Utah decision last year was, it's not the Constitution that has changed.
Yeah.
It's our knowledge of what it means to be lesbian or gay.
Yeah.
And that sentence captured the strategy and it captured how we won.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just a matter of pointing to the law.
Yeah.
It was a matter of actually helping people, including judges, understand how the command of the Constitution, the principles of equality and freedom, apply to these people too.
Yeah.
Gay people too.
Yeah. Gay people are citizens too, right?
People are citizens, and gay people are human beings who share the aspirations to love and to family and inclusion. Yeah. And that's what they're denied when they are denied the freedom to marry, as unfortunately they continue to be in Germany.
I think it's like the 14th Amendment of the constitution that the judges used now for their argumentation, was that the part of the constitution that you were working with too back then?
Yes, absolutely. The 14th Amendment contains the guarantees to equal justice under the law, equal protection of the laws. So mm-hmm. it says the government cannot discriminate against one group of people yeah. over the others unless it has a good reason, yeah. which we proved that it did not. And it also guarantees essentially the right to freedom, yeah. the right to liberty, the right to pursue your own choices yeah. in a free society like the United States or like Germany.
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple thing, the 14th Amendment. It just defines the what makes a citizen, and as soon as you are a citizen, you have every right.
Or you should have every
right. You should. Right. Yeah, that's the right way to talk about that. So how frustrating was the fact that you had to wait for 32 years until the Supreme Court decided to legalize same-sex marriage? Was there a time when you didn't believe in the institutions anymore, when you were like, oh, come on, what takes you so long?
You know, I'm lucky. I have a very optimistic nature, at least in my work, not always in my personal life, but in my work. And so I always believed we could win. I always believed that if we made the case, if we explained to people who gay people are and why marriage matters to us yeah. in the same way that it matters to everyone, that the people would open their hearts and move. And we just had to do the work. Mm-hmm. And that's what we had to do in the United States. And of course, it's what we have to do here in Germany as
yeah.
well.
Let's talk about Germany for a little while, because gay couples in Germany, they're allowed to form something like a same-sex union, which kind of sounds official, and it kind of is, but it does not give you the same rights that a married couple has, which is like the point that we're talking about, right?
If it were the same thing, why would we need something different?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, my question is, how should German activists approach the topic of equal rights and same-sex marriage? Would you say that relying on courts and the constitution or Verfassung or Grundgesetz that we have here, do you think that this is going to work in Germany too?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in German law and the German culture yeah. and German politics, so I can't really say to people here what they should do. What yeah. I can talk about is what we did that worked, mm-hmm. and then people here can decide what applies here. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we needed to do was to make the case to the people. Mm-hmm. We had to really show people, not just tell people, but show people who gay couples are, mm-hmm. what our love is, how our lives are, how we also are raising kids, how yeah. we're worrying about our aging parents, how we're fighting about who takes out the garbage.
Yeah.
And we had to talk about the meaning of marriage and how being denied that meaning is stigmatizing. Mm-hmm. It is dividing. Mm-hmm. It is excluding.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we go into the conversation saying, I don't care what you call it, but just give us X, Y, or Z,
yeah.
well, if we don't care, then how are they supposed to care?
Yeah, that's true.
So we needed to talk about how we cared,
yeah.
how it mattered. And we had to also connect with shared values
yeah.
of treating others as you'd want to be treated,
yeah.
not allowing the government to make decisions for anybody else
yeah.
about how they should order their lives. If the government issues marriage licenses to some, it ought to issue those licenses to all,
yeah.
and then let people decide what's right for
yeah.
them.
But my question is it, do you think that it's right to use the institutions to, because it's what you've done is basically a revolution, but you were not fighting for your rights on the streets with violence or something, but you went through judges and courts and
right. Well, we didn't use violence, and we don't need violence, and we don't need violence in a country committed to the rule of law like the United States
yeah.
and like Germany. We have to invoke the law and
yeah.
the principles that connect us. But we also have to encourage and help our politicians and our judges to
yeah.
get it right. We can't begin by saying it'll never happen or they won't do it. We have to begin by saying, yes, they can do it
yeah.
and yes, they should. And whether it's done through the Bundestag or whether it's done through the courts, I'm not an expert,
yeah.
but certainly the country of Germany, like the United States a few months
yeah.
ago, is falling short of what it owes to every citizen
totally.
And every family. And
totally.
So we need to create the space for the decision makers to get it right.
Yeah, I have great hopes in the Bundesverfassungsgericht, which is like a court for the constitution of Germany. They always take a look at the constitution
well,
and then they find
and if
decisions.
They do, I hope they will look at what the United States Supreme
yeah.
Court and 70 other courts did. They
yeah.
looked at the mountain of evidence
yeah.
that was there. They looked at what the government was saying to justify its discrimination,
yeah.
and they looked at the case of these couples and what they were being denied, how
yeah.
kids are being harmed, how couples
sure.
are being harmed, how businesses and others, you know, 379 of the leading businesses in the United States filed a brief with the Supreme Court urging them to affirm the freedom to marry. Not one business spoke on the other side, because the business has understood it's good for the economy. Yeah. It's good for the community to treat everyone with respect.
Yeah, that's right. And so there are a few arguments that even our chancellor should understand, but we'll see. Let's play one song, then we'll quickly find out what you're going to talk about tonight. And then you have to leave already, because the taxi cab is already waiting.
I have to go to this event that everybody's invited to.
Im Schwulen Museum heute um 18 Uhr übrigens wird das Gespräch schon losgehen mit Mr. Evan Wolfson, den wir jetzt gleich nochmal hören, nach einem Song von Bilderbuch. Aus Österreich und ihr wahnsinnig gutes Stückchen Machine. Bei mir im Studio immer noch Evan Wolfson aus den Vereinigten Staaten. Der Anwalt und Aktivist ist einer der wichtigsten Figuren im Kampf für die gleichgeschlechtliche Ehe in den Vereinigten Staaten gewesen. Er hat mit jahrzehntelanger Arbeit es bis vor den Supreme Court quasi geschafft und war wirklich mit dafür verantwortlich, dass der Supreme Court im Jahr 2015 die gleichgeschlechtliche Ehe in den USA legalisiert, und zwar in allen 50 Staaten, in all 50 states. Now, County Clerk Kim Davis from Kentucky. She has refused to marry same-sex couples, which resulted in her being in jail. But is that maybe something that you and your organization, you have to work on to change minds like hers and to change the minds of people in more rural areas of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Kim Davis example is a completely isolated instance of acting out. You know, the United States is a big country. 99.4% of all the counties in the country are issuing the licenses. People are getting married. There's no problem.
Okay, good.
There's a handful of people, which is, you know, it's 3 months. There's a little bit of grandstanding. That'll resolve itself. That'll be taken care of. And you know something? Kim Davis and others are entitled to believe whatever they want. But what they're not entitled to do is sit in a government job and refuse to serve the public.
Okay. That's true. That's basically all one has to say to the Kim Davis thing. Now, your mission in life has kind of been accomplished, right? What's next? Do you think there's a chance to control guns with the help of the Constitution, maybe? Because that would be something.
Well, you know, the work of the Freedom to Marry campaign is now done, and we are winding it down, and we'll close the Freedom to Marry. But the work of our movement, and as you rightly point out, the work of so many other things that we all care about is far from over. So there's plenty left to do.
Yeah, cool. And then you'll be traveling through different countries, and then you'll talk about your success with the Supreme Court and how other countries are maybe gonna get there too.
Well, one of the happy consequences of success is that people then start asking you, how did you do it? And so I've spoken to at least 20 different movements across the spectrum, the environment, education, gun control, women's rights, reproductive rights, about the elements of success. And likewise, here I am now as a guest of the U.S. government coming to share what we did with our colleagues and friends in Europe, who can then go forward and take what applies and move forward, because you know there's a lot of work left to do in the United States and around the world.
Yeah, and in Germany too. And I really think when you look at the American Constitution, or the Constitution of the U.S. and the Constitution of Germany, there's similarities. And maybe the good attorneys at law, the good lawyers from Germany, they should probably concentrate on that.
I hope so, and I hope that people can also look at the example, for example, of Ireland, where the people heard the arguments, heard the case, looked at the real people affected by this discrimination and embraced them and voted to make Ireland a freedom to marry country also.
Yes.
So there are a lot of good examples out there, and we need other countries like Germany to move forward, because those of us who live in countries that are democratic and committed to the rule of law, we need to stand up for universal human rights so that we can do the lifting around the world.
Yeah, and that's going to have an effect on the whole world, basically, if we all start thinking right.
We need to get our countries where they need to be, and for our people and for people around the world.
That's totally true. Tonight you're gonna be at the Schwule Museum, which is gonna be like tonight. It's basically wrong. You're gonna be there in like 30 minutes.
Yes.
I want to wish you the best of luck for your talk there, and I want you to come back to this studio as soon as you visit Berlin the next time. We can talk a bit more and a bit longer. That will be super interesting.
Thank you very much. I'd love to.
Evan Wolfson war bei mir im Studio, einer der bekanntesten Aktivisten für die gleichgeschlechtliche Ehe in den Vereinigten Staaten. Jetzt gleich um 6 Uhr wird er im Schwulen Museum nochmal ins Gespräch verwickelt werden von dort sitzenden Moderatorinnen. Und wer sich das angucken möchte, der kann einfach vorbeigehen in der Lützowstraße, denn der Eintritt ist frei im Schwulen Museum. Thank you, Mr. Wolfson.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.